One of the things that I learned this morning is that seasoned pastors like myself still have a lot to learn. I discovered just a few minutes before I came up on the pulpit this morning that, lo and behold, my NAS version was a little bit different than your NAS version. And so some of the verses that I read and the words that I used, the these and the thous, may have seemed somewhat confusing to you. So I apologize for that. However, I'm using the same version tonight, so I don't know how sincere my apology is. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 through 11. Yes, I'm using the old version, New American Standard, and I didn't realize until this morning that there's more than one version of the NAS, so bear with me. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. Hear now the Word of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, how truly blessed we are to have Your true Word. Your Word that is without error from Genesis through Revelation. Your Word which is so important for us in order to understand You and to live by the precepts that You have given to us, the rules, the commandments, but also to live by Your promises. So, Lord, tonight, as we look into Your Word, continue to be with us, enable us by Your Spirit to have understanding, and then through Your ministry, the ministry of Your Spirit, help us to put into practice those things that we learn from You. Pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. Well, He lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He brought disaster to Job. He opposed the high priest Joshua and Zechariah. He tempted Jesus three times. He filled Ananias' heart to lie to God. Paul says that he caused his thorn in the flesh, though we don't know what it was. Today, well, he sows seeds in the church. He causes spiritual warfare for the Christian. He has his own kingdom, and his end has not yet come. Sounds like a very powerful foe, doesn't it? Sounds like someone that you really do not want to mess with. Sounds like someone with which you're going to need help in order to overcome. Should we be concerned about the devil? Should we be concerned about Satan, despite what some think about, oh, there's no such person as Satan. There's no such person as the devil. The Scripture reminds us that the devil is alive and well. So what do we do about it? And that's what we want to look at this evening as we take a look at Peter's writing here. And as we look at 1 Peter 5 in these verses that I read for you, we will see how Satan is described. We'll look at the precautions that we must take. We will discover ways to fight him. and at the same time be assured that the victory is ours, that we do not have to live a defeated life, that we are not being crushed by Satan, that we do not have to listen to him or be under his power. So let's take a look at these things here this evening. First of all, how is he described? We see in verse 8 that the devil is described as an adversary. Now, when Peter uses the term adversary, he's using a legal term. An adversary is someone who will take you to court over a certain matter. Oh, it may be over a boundary dispute, or it may be a charge of slander. It may be money that you owe somebody and haven't paid. And so here you are in court before the judge. And as you stand before the judge, you have next to you the accuser. The devil is the great accuser. He's a great adversary. He accuses God to men and men to God. He's an enemy to man in general, but especially he was and is the enemy to the seed of the woman. I almost missed this, so don't you miss it here in verse 8. He says, Peter reminds us that Satan, the devil, is not just an adversary, but he is your adversary. He's an adversary of each one of you here tonight. So we must take him very seriously. He's your accuser. He's your adversary. Secondly, he's described in this passage as being compared to a roaring lion. Lions. Lions are known for their strength. They're known for their rage. They're known for their cruelty. The lion is the king of the beasts. And their roar is terrifying to other animals and to humans alike. You don't make friends with a lion. You observe them from a distance, a far distance as that, but you don't make friends with a lion. But here, matters are made worse as Peter describes the devil not only as a lion, but as a roaring lion. This means that this lion is hungry. And this further intensifies the situation and reminds us even more to be on guard because Satan will come at us as a roaring lion. He's not just a playful house cat. He's this roaring lion that is threatening to take you over, to overpower you. Then, in the description of the devil, Peter tells us that this hungry, roaring lion is seeking to devour someone. Maybe one of you here tonight. Maybe he's seeking to devour you. How does he do this? How does he devour anyone? He doesn't kill us like the lion does in the jungle and then eat its prey. But he devours us by leading us into temptation and sin, which does lead to death. And he would love nothing more than to have us in his lair, to have us on his side, to have us to do what he wants us to do. And he does that. That happens to us when we set aside the Word of God. We take God's Word and we lay it over here somewhere and we decide, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I feel like doing. And then we let the sinful nature come in. And Satan is happy because he has devoured you at that point. Peter says, be on the alert. Satan is out there as the accuser, as the roaring lion. He's out there seeking to devour you and control you. Why else would Peter give us this warning if it were not real? It's a warning which we must heed. And so there are precautions. Precautions that we must take. We see this in verse 8. We dare not take this business about a a live and active devil lightly. We dare not brush it aside as a myth or fable or something which once was the case. And this is why Peter tells us to be sober in verse 8. Be of sober spirit, he says, when it comes to considering the devil and, as Paul would call it, the wiles or the trickery of the devil. To be sober means to be serious. It also means to be in control of one's senses. We know that a person who is drunk is a person who is under the influence of that alcohol or some drug. And as a result of that, he's lost self-control. He's not able to think straight. He's not able to make the right decisions. He's not able to take proper actions. This is why, for instance, a drunk driver is so dangerous. He's not in control. Peter tells us that in considering the activity of the devil, that we must have self-control and not be under the control of him, like you can be under the control of alcohol or drugs. He says, be of sober spirit. Okay, think straight about this. Keep this in mind. Prepare to take action. Prepare to fight. And Peter says this is very important that we do this. He will come and try to take us away, that is Satan, and so we need to be in control. He'll not come all dressed in red and with a pitchfork, but he will come in power. He has his kingdom. He has the evil power of the world behind him with his demons who serve him. And so we must take control. We're also told to be vigilant or to be watchful. He says, be on the alert here in verse 8. We need to be on the alert as to the power and the cunning ability of the enemy. So as this hungry, roaring lion prowls around, he is planning his attack. He may attack us by having us doubt the Word of God. Oh, did God really say that? Does God really mean that? You must misunderstand. He may want us to doubt our salvation. Oh, really? You are really a child of God? You really belong to Him? Are you really a citizen of His kingdom? Look at how you live. Look at what you have done. And you call yourself a Christian. He may even suggest to us, you're not a very happy person, are you? Why don't you complain about it? Why don't you murmur about it? Or then he may say, suggest to us that well, you know, here's a situation that you're in. You're going to get in trouble unless you fib your way out of it. So the temptation is to tell a lie, thinking, well, it's not really such a bad, horrible thing, is it? There's also the possibility that he may suggest to us, well, don't be such a stick in the mud. Go do what everybody else is doing. Be part of one of the gang. Be like everybody else. Don't be so odd and so strange in your ways and your thinking. You see, Satan has different ways of attack. Diverse ways of attacking. And so we must be on the alert, as Peter says. We must be vigilant. We must know that, yes, Satan is real, and we must know that he is coming after us. He's coming after you. So, how do we fight him? The third thing we want to look at this evening as we consider some of these verses. How do we fight the attacks that are coming our way from Satan? Notice how this passage starts out as I began our reading with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. In humility, we place ourselves under the authority of the Lord God, so that with God's mighty hand upon us, we do not have to fear Satan being successful with his attacks. But when the times come that we do not submit to God, when there are times that we insist upon going our own way, then we fall into the trap of the devil and we open ourselves up to his schemes and his devices. Don't think for a moment that you can fight the devil on your own, thinking that you do not need the Lord's help in this. Because the warning here at the end of verse 5 is that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Don't be so proud to think, I can do it myself. I have the strength. I have the ability. I can win this war. You cannot. Because it takes the Almighty God to be upon your side in order to fight and to win this battle. Therefore, he says, instead of being proud, instead of saying, I can do it all, we are to come to the realization in verse 6 that we must humble ourselves under the almighty hand of God. I find that one of the main times that Satan attacks is when we are in a weakened position. And we find ourselves in weakened positions, for example, when we have the worries and the cares of the world upon us. We have things that need to be done. We don't know how they're going to get done. We have things to do. We don't know how to do them. We have obligations to meet. We don't know how we're possibly going to meet them. We worry about today. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about the days beyond. We worry about what we should have done yesterday. We find ourselves in a weakened position as we worry about our family, ourselves, our job, our school, our community, our nation, and the list goes on. And so we become burdened down. We become then in a weakened position. And this makes Satan oh so happy, because to worry means we're taking our minds off the Lord for a time. And he can march right in. Peter says that we are to cast all of our care, all of our anxiety upon the Lord in verse 7, because he cares for us. We are to take our cares and our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Not take them up again. Because as we leave the burdens to the Lord, as we know of His care and His love for us, as we leave them there, we know that He will take care of whatever the situation is, and the worry should be off of our mind. And we become strong in the Lord, in the counsel of His might. Peter says that we are to cast all of our care, all of our anxiety upon the Lord. Why? Because He really, really does care for us. You can be sure Satan doesn't care for us. Not really. You can be sure that the devil does not care for us in the least bit. But God truly does. If God cares for the flowers and then the birds and the hair upon our head, certainly He will care for us body and soul. So don't be in a weakened position. Don't let worry be an inroad for the devil, as Peter is suggesting here. So we're to humble ourselves before God. We're to cast all of our care upon the Lord. Thirdly, we're to resist Him. Verse 9. But resist Him. I remember it's been a number of years ago now that Barbara Bush in the White House was criticized for telling people concerning drugs and alcohol and sex to just say no. And people laughed at her. They thought, well, how simplistic is that? How simple-minded is that? But that's what Peter is telling us right here. When it comes to the trickery of Satan, when it comes to the temptations that Satan brings, Peter says, resist him. Just say no when he comes up to us. When Satan comes up and fills our mind with ungodly ideas and words and actions, say no. In a very plain language, he tells us, he says, just resist him. Sometimes we think, well, you know, he's Satan. He's the devil. Look at the power that he has. But look at the power that we have. We have all the host of heaven at our disposal to fight this roaring beast. We have, as we sang from Psalm 46, I picked that psalm tonight so that we be reminded that is the Lord God upon our side, that though the mountains may be moved, and though we have the roaring of the sea, it makes no difference because God is still on His throne, ruling and reigning for His glory and for the benefit of His people. Our God is with us. He is on our side. So yes, we fight the roaring beast, and God will enable us to win the victory. The problem is, we don't always want to say no. We don't always want to say, get behind me, Satan, because for the moment, what he suggests to us may seem like a fun thing for a time. But consider the consequences. Another way to resist the devil is to be well grounded in the faith. He also mentions that here in verse 9. Resist him firm in your faith. We need to read and know the Word of God with its teachings and its promises, its threats, its helps. I was so pleased to see that this congregation is memorizing Scripture. As a young child growing up in a conservative Bible church, memory work program was paramount, was so important through the different classes that I went through. And to this day, these memory verses still stay with me. How important it is to be grounded in the faith through Scripture memorization. We need to know what God says in His Word and take to heart and act upon these promises that He gives us. We need to know that greater is He who is in the world than us than He who is in the world. We also need to realize that Christ has won the battle. And all we need to do is turn to Him in time of need when Satan attacks. When the devil attacks us, it's not time to abandon our faith. It's time to adhere to it even more closely. So continue firm in the faith. As we talked about this morning from Psalm 16, refuse to be moved. Refuse to be shaken from your foundation, from your faith. And then Peter reminds us that we're not alone in this as we fight these battles. Resist him, verse 9, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Those who name the name of Jesus Christ are targets for Satan. And you may have to experience some sufferings at the hand of the devil, at the hand of Satan, but know that God is still in control. And furthermore, beyond this, remember that you have brothers and sisters who are going through and have gone through the same temptations as you. It's interesting that Peter mentions here the brotherhood, that the same experience of suffering from Satan are being accomplished by the brotherhood, by your brethren who are in the world. The sufferings, the temptations, the doubts, the suggestions of Satan are not things that are unique to you as individuals, but are shared by all. And this was even illustrated in the life of Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points as we are, and by Satan directly, yet he was without sin. Jesus knows what it's like to fight this battle. Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted by Satan. Jesus knows how to fight and to win the war. Jesus has been there. And so we turn to Him and we look to Him. And we share and are encouraged by one another as we go through these experiences from at the hand of Satan. And so we have Satan described for us here in this passage as an adversary, as a roaring lion, as someone seeking to devour you. Peter says, be sober, be on the alert, be vigilant, cast all your care upon the Lord, humble yourself before God, resist Satan, continue firm in the faith, and take comfort to know that you're not alone in this. But then we see that Peter really ends up on a high note. Verses 10 and 11, he says, and after you have suffered for a little, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The victory is yours. The victory is mine through Jesus Christ. And Peter here talks about the day when the end will come. I don't know when that day will be, but I know it will come. The day will come when the devil will no longer be a threat to the Christian. But in the meantime, Peter suggests to us and reminds us that we can rest in peace, knowing that God has already called us to His eternal glory. Peter is very careful about the tense that he uses here to remind us that we should have the assurance of knowing that one day we will be in glory with Christ. That has been set up, that will happen, that will take place. And so we don't have to worry about, well, what's going to happen to me in the future as a believer. Peter has told us the day has been set aside when God will call us. He has called us, actually, to our eternal glory in Christ. But the day will not come without some hardships, often at the hand of Satan. And the encouraging news is that all these hardships will seem as absolutely nothing once we enter into that eternal kingdom. For those who are in Jesus Christ, it's a sure thing that we'll be taken to glory. And no one can stop that, not even Satan. But here we are. We're not there yet. And while we are left on the earth, please note here what God will do for us as we await our eternal home. He says that He will perfect, confirm, establish, and strengthen us. God is doing a work in you right now. He's doing a work in me right now. He's perfecting you by His Son through the Spirit. He is grounding you in His Word. He is taking you through battle after battle, making you stronger each battle that you face. And He's reminding you that you can rest in Him in all situations. I like the way that the New King James phrases the very last word here in verse 10. The New King James talks about how God will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God, through Christ, will settle you. And He will do that for us as we turn to Him, as we know that He is the one who's in control, as you know that you are safe in the arms of Christ, so that not even the devil can take you out of those arms. And what a glorious ending Peter gives in verse 11. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter starts out with a scary scenario about the devil. The devil who is alive and well. And he ends the section by giving praise to God who has the glory and the dominion forever. It's not Satan who reigns forever, but it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And by His grace, we reign with Him. It's not by our might that the devil's ways are turned aside, but it's by the victory that our Lord Jesus Christ has already won over him, and which victory belongs to us as His people, as shown in the great day of resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be assured that the devil's end will come. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them were thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever means forever and ever. Satan's end will come. But for now, we listen to God, His Word, as given to us by Peter. We take Satan seriously, but at the same time, we know that there is one greater in us who lives in us by His Spirit than the one who lives in the world, as powerful as he might be. Yes, the devil is alive and well, but he's been defeated. And only the skirmishes are left to clean up. Let us pray. Lord, help us to not take lightly the work of Satan. Your word teaches us that we have the world and the flesh and the devil that are against us. Help us to not be corrupted by any of these matters. Help us, Lord, to be a people who see Satan as powerful, yet as one who has been defeated, and as one that we can defeat, not by our power, but by the strength that you give us. Help us to follow the example of your dear Son, in which he used your word to defeat Satan. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and let pride not rule over us. Help us to cast all of our worries and our cares on you. Help us to resist Satan. Help us to continue firm in the faith and take comfort in knowing we are not alone in this battle. It's a battle, Lord, which we must face all the time. It is true warfare. And yet, Father, how we praise you and thank you that you have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who does not know Christ, who does not know life in him, and the victory which is in Jesus, may this night they turn to you from their sin in repentance and confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And may the rest of us depend and look to you as we fight this battle and as we clean up the skirmishes that are left. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.